Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
We march for women's rights.
We march for women's rights.
We march for human rights.
We march for human rights.
We are ready for the fight.
We are ready for the fight.
There's nothing like millions of people gathering in the streets, rallying around a common cause. Some see it as awe-inspiring. Some are dumbfounded as to the point. And others see it as their civic duty.
Without people protesting, how else is our voice heard in this democracy? It's a critical element of democracy. Without protest, without freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, we have no democracy.
Of course, not everyone at a march has the same deeply rooted sense of purpose.
My name is Sasha, and I made a sign, and it says, I'm so angry I made a sign.
Why do you think protesting is important?
I don't know.
What
does that mean?
Why are you guys here for the protests in March?
For women's rights.
And do you think protests in general, just any protest, is good for our country?
It depends. It depends, like, what this protest is for. If it's a good protest, good. But if it's a bad protest, I don't know what to say about that.
Do you?
And if you ask their parents, it's not the end of the world that the 10 and under crowd doesn't fully grasp what's going on. Because their presence at rallies like the Women's March, or any other march, no matter where it falls on the political spectrum, serves a greater purpose. It helps kids understand that no matter how small they are, they too have a voice.
Lord, I hope so. You know, just seeing how easy it is just to say what you need to say. You know, all these other people are doing it. So hopefully they're feeling that as well, that rising up just means showing up.
That said, it can take decades to hone our voice and understand what we ultimately stand for. From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And today we're featuring precocious kids who question authority and fight for what they believe in. Even if the point of their protests isn't totally thought out, or if they're like Cassie McGrath, they were totally missing the point to begin with.
When I was a senior in high school, I was really into this intense hippie phase that started my junior year. So my senior year, a lot of people from my high school were going to this peace rally in San Francisco, and I thought it would be really fun to go along with them and join hands with my brothers and sisters and march for peace to show everyone what an enlightened person I'd become. October 22nd. Wait. Do I even want to go to San Francisco? It just hit me. I've been riding this wave of excitement of the idea of just leaving to go to San Fran for a weekend, being a free spirit, just going. The peace rally thing is an added benefit, but I'm starting to think that the ultra-liberal people are crazy too. October 26th, 1:41 a.m. Before I write about the peace rally, let me just get out shallow, disgusting descriptions of everyone. Mark really wants everyone to like and respect him. Even goes so far as to use large, out-of-place vocabulary words, tries to sound experienced, lots of times won't shut up. Martine, completely vacuous. I am disappointed. Allie, ew, so gross. Caitlin, looks like a Muppet. Boring as hell. Only becomes interesting when she gossips. I hate gossip. Makes me really sick when girls talk about guys they think are cute. It makes me absolutely nauseous. Now I know how destructive it is, how wrong and upsetting and weird and horrible it is. Gossip really upsets me. I hate judging.
And while Cassie was using a peace march to prove she was better than everyone else, Sam Bernal was just trying to get through middle school.
I was chubbier than the girls that I was friends with. I was into different things than they were into. So if it was like if you weren't into what they were into, they didn't like it. And they had to point it out and single you out and make you feel like there was something wrong with you.
Luckily, Sam had the perfect role model to teach her how to get through the hard times.
I grew up in a small town south of San Antonio in South Texas, like 100 miles away from the border. So we're all Mexican American there. Where I'm from, it's better to be, you know, in line and be obedient and everything. But my mom, she didn't want me to be that way. She was born in California and they moved all over the country, like working in the fields and things like that, like what a lot of immigrants do. She and my dad also had to work in the fields when they were kids before and after school. She always told us she just wanted us to graduate high school and become, you know, self-sufficient and contributing, you know, members of society, basically. I look up to her a lot. She's really strong.
And when Sam was convinced she'd met her greatest opposition, which she hadn't, she was prepared to stage her own unique version of a sit-in.
Hi, I'm Sam. And these are from my sophomore year in high school. And I was in a gifted and talented program of English. I was normally a pretty shy and quiet, like nerdy girl before this year. And as you can tell, I wanted to show off my rebellious side this year and show people that I was tougher and stronger. My favorite band was Good Charlotte. It was my way to show them that I was a rebel. And my teacher rubbed me the wrong way. She was a white lady in a room full of Mexican-American students. And so my friends and I took her as being racist for correcting us, as teachers do. Obviously, she wasn't racist, but as know-it-all teenagers, we thought she was. And every day she gave us daily journal prompts on the board as we walked into class, and we had to write our thoughts on these prompts. And I took this as an opportunity to let her know just how much I hated her and journal writing. August 26th. Today's journal prompt, complete the following. I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to do journals. They take up a lot of time, and they really don't seem to help me expand my mind at all. Journal prompt. Ain't nothing in this world for free, and it blows my mind how so many fools just don't get that. Ain't is not a word. For someone who is so particular about people using proper English, I didn't think you would use a quote with the word ain't in it. Anyway, that's all. January 26th. Don't look for more honor than your learning merits. Jewish proverb. My learning merits me plenty of honor. Some of the people who have taught me, however, aren't as smart as they think they are.
I'm not a confrontational person, and so my anger and frustration at her would happen in the journals because I knew that anything that I wanted to say to her, it was easier to have it come out on paper. I remember her making comments here and there about, you know, if you girls would spend more time thinking about what you wrote in your journals, just like you do, you know, talking about those boys, your journals would actually have better material in them.
Today's prompt. There are more pleasant things to do than beat up people. Muhammad Ali. I like hitting people sometimes. Prompt for today. Why do you think prejudice exists in the world? Prejudice exists because I don't know. I'm no psychic, so I have no idea why I'm prejudiced towards a lot of things, and I won't change my ways. I am prejudiced toward these journals, for example. Hope you like my journal. Prompt. The only good is knowledge, and the only evil is ignorance. Socrates. Ignorance is not the only evil. Socrates should have thought this through. I was like, who's this Socrates guy? March 28th. 80% of success is showing up. Woody Allen. Woody Allen is a complete quack. He married his adoptive daughter. Of course, 80% of success was just showing up. He just showed up at Mia Farrow's doorstep. And succeeded at finding his future wife. I totally disagree with Woody Allen. Today's prompt. How do you feel about professional athletes and steroid usage? I don't care about steroid usage in baseball. I don't care. Steroid usage has almost nothing to do with me because I am completely unathletic. And I never intend on using steroids. The only steroid I use is in my inhalers for my asthma. April 12th. What would you like to be doing 5 years from now? In 5 years, I'd like to be in a bar drinking. In 10 years, I'll be in New York City and living a better life than a teacher in Pearsall does.
I wanted to go against this person and defy them because I thought she's trying to stomp all over my heritage, and I was just making myself look like a dumb jerk, really. I guess the protests, either on my part alone or all my classmates, became effective because by the middle end of the year, she was more irritable and frustrated towards us. And then within a year or so of us being out of her class and out of her hair and out of the school completely, she was no longer a teacher and she was just the school librarian after that. She was done with the classroom, maybe because of us.
What are your education goals? I hope to be a cosmetologist, then a psychiatrist. Not that you care, however. But I don't care about your goals or your kids' goals, see? We're even on our goals. So I didn't become either of those things. Instead, I became a teacher.
Sam Bernal's version of protesting wasn't exactly on the level of the Boston Tea Party, but it does prove that even the shyest American teenagers don't live in fear of speaking their minds, something that's not necessarily the case for kids who didn't grow up in a democracy. Take, for instance, Susan, one of the protesters at the Women's March in Washington, D.C.
I'm from Iran, and I have been through a lot of oppression and tyranny before, and that's why I'm here.
Were you allowed to protest?
No. And this is what's so wonderful here. And this is a right that they cannot take away, the right to protest. It's the right to breathe, the right to be a human being.
Susan was there with her adult son, Murdad, who, having spent most of his life in the U.S., was no stranger to public protest.
Tell me, Murdad, why do you have so much experience with marches?
So I'm a community organizer, and so I've organized a lot of marches, including one here on the Mall, which was really great. It was about immigration reform. I think it's just not enough to click like. We have to show mobilized and organized opposition in the streets. It's an incredibly important tool of democracy.
I think it's wonderful. I think he's making up for all that I have lost, people like me lost. He's making up for all of that, and I'm very proud of him.
Like Murdad, Naya Palmer's mother was determined to give her daughter the chance to protest in ways she never got to.
My mom and my uncle wanted to go march during the civil rights movement, and my mom always told me stories about how my grandfather was adamant that they not march. Like, no, absolutely not. It's too dangerous. You know, and I think my mom always, you know, regretted that. So I always felt like even though, you know, they hadn't marched or participated in the civil rights movement, I always felt like I could, you know, I had a voice. My mom was really funny because she encouraged it. Her phrase was always, right on, soul sister, right on. So she was, you know, she was all about dissent.
But by the time Naya was in high school, she was fixated on the downside of progress.
We had moved to Georgia and to North Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. You might be in a classroom and you'd be lucky to have, you know, maybe two black kids in a class. But more often than not, I might be the only black kid in the class, you know, which I think made me sometimes combative.
Naya was no shrinking violet. She was determined to use her voice to demand change. Not necessarily progress, but definitely change.
So I'm Naya. My views were really extreme, and I lived in a southern town that was incredibly conservative. So nobody wanted to hear anything that I wanted to say ever, and I was really angry about that. And I acted out. I was always in in-school suspension. I had a huge attitude problem. Like 3 weeks out of the month, I was always in Saturday school. So I was kind of a problem. And hated high school. And my senior year, I took a creative writing class, and my teacher actually encouraged me to say exactly what I wanted to say. So these are some of my assignments. This is called, I'm really creative with the titles, I Hate Black History Month. Yeah. I wish I'd grown up during the fight for civil rights, before black people had stuff and we had to march for everything. I'd have worn my hair in an afro and had a closet full of dashikis. I'd have raised my fist high in the air and chanted Uhuru, which I think means freedom in some African language. It doesn't. Instead, I missed the whole civil rights thing and am now the byproduct of what everybody was fighting for. The right to be the only black kid in the classroom. Thanks a whole fucking lot. It sucks. With this month being February, I bet everyone thought I was going to write about how thankful I am that I's free. And one day when I's a grown-up, I's can vote and come to school with little white children. And most of all, probably why I'm so thankful that I have an entire month dedicated to me. Surprise, surprise. I hate Black History Month. It's the one month out of the year when white people feel comfortable to ask me all sorts of strange, inappropriate questions and treat me as if I'm the spokesperson for the black race. How the hell would I know anything about black people? Stupid. I can't even dance. Stereotypes. I mean, it's horrific. Okay. Every year, like clockwork, when February rolls around, I'm the mascot of equality. Thanks a lot, Martin Luther King. I hate the cardboard cutouts of Ben Carson, George Washington Carver, and Thurgood Marshall. I hate the laminated poster of Harriet Tubman leading the slaves to freedom. I hate projects that involve cutting out the shape of Martin Luther King's head and pasting it to a popsicle stick. 2 years ago, we had an African-American celebration in the auditorium, which still makes me cringe. It was an African dance troupe, and they danced really hard, barefoot, and pounded on a steel drum. Whose bright idea was it to present live culture to ignorant high school students at my expense? I can imagine the committee meeting. Let's have something authentic, like really, really black people. Basket weaving and beating drums. I'd like to see brown children with big tummies. Oh, and flies. Flies everywhere. That's authentic. That was the same year that Shaka Zulu aired on television. I tend to divide my school years into two chapters, before Shaka aired on television and after. It was a 10-hour epic about an illegitimate prince who reclaims his birthright with brilliance and brutality. Shit. The thing is, the next day at school, apparently everyone else had watched it, and instead of calling me by name, I was referred to as Spear Chucker. I know. Okay, so this year I'm boycotting Black History Month. I plan on getting a note from my parents, and it will read, Naya is not to participate in Black History Month festivities this year. She's not allowed to partake in any assemblies, write any reports, or take part in discussions this month. If there's a problem, please call us. So, just so you know, because you might be worried, I did kind of figure out the black thing. I went to Howard, which is an historically black college, because I really needed that. I had a really liberal English teacher, and he liked it. He thought it was good. And he encouraged me to keep writing. You know, I was a child. I feel like, you know, and I was expressing myself. I feel like, yeah, it came out absolutely the right way. When I read the essay as an adult, I think, oh, Naya. I figured it out. All those questions I had as a kid and all the confusion, I figured it out. I may not like the answers I have, but I'm not as clueless anymore.
That was Naya Palmer and Sam Bernal reading aloud their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes today's protest episode, where we learn the importance of teaching kids that their voice matters. And almost as important, teaching those same kids how to double-check their schoolwork. To share the shame, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp. And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia. If your company would like to support our podcast too, we'd love that. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Katie McMurrin, Hadley Dion, Shelby L. Otmani, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Featured readers include Sam Bernal and Naya Palmer. Stories were produced for the stage by Jessica Leeds. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Big, big thanks to all the folks that we interviewed out on the Washington Mall, including my sister. Also thanks to Lance Roberts Studios and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.